In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my brother and I would like to welcome you to the house of the Lord this day, that we might are able to come and worship Him. And to those that are listening on Zoom, I'll kind of go over the bulletin so you might know who's doing what. I'm Elder Dan Brown, presiding the Turner family, and Ellie Williams, head of ministry of music with Sherilyn Blant. The invocation will be brought by Priest Neil Sherman, and benediction by Elder Dennis Seymour. And I've been waiting for a long time for this moment. Heard the Lord speak to Josh when he was a six-year-old about the work he'd have to do, and I finally get to see the revealment of the Lord's revelation. And so our minister for the hour will be Priest Josh Vanderswag, and Sister Susan will be playing a piano for us for our hymns. And our hymns will be "Let Us Shake Off the Coals of Our Garments," hymn, and the gray hymnals will be 581 or 583, and "Redeemer of Israel" for our closing hymn will be 201. Which for call to worship this morning, I thought about the day in which we live and the things that are going on. And I thought about, as I picked out the first song, "Let Us Shake Off the Coals of Our Garment." And it was David Smith sang the first two stanzas in a prayer meeting. It was an early in the reorganization of the church. And says, "And moved by prophetic power," young David Smith sang the first two stanzas in the prayer meeting. And then it goes on and says, "It was a call to stand in the strength of our Lord, to see how God is remembering Zion, and to move out in gratitude and in hope." And I thought today, in the situations we find ourselves in, that we need to move forward in gratitude and in hope. For the call to worship scriptures, then, I want to read to you out of 7th chapter of Moroni, beginning at verse 45. "And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope, how it is that you can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope. And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise." And then out of Latter-day Revelations, Doctrine and Covenants. Section 35, verse 3. "And a promise it has been given that no power shall stay the hand of God in the accomplishment of his purposes among his people. And as the church shall move forward in its great work, the fulfillment of prophecy may cause the saints to tremble at the exhibition of divine power, that they shall rejoice and the protection of his grace." Let's continue our service with hymn 581 or 583.
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, truly we have assembled here in hope and in our homes listening in of receiving that blessing that you have for each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, you have already witnessed unto me the beautiful manifestation of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, and we are grateful, Father, to have a God who is so loving and kind. Heavenly Father, I uphold thy servant Josh this morning and ask you to speak to us through him. I know that you are well pleased with his preparation. Heavenly Father, we truly have come to seek the face of the King of Kings this morning. And we do so in the humble name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we heard in our business meeting this morning, the saints have been valiant in their work for their of their stewardships and that of giving to the branch that we might continue doing that which the Lord has called us to do. This time, I ask that you might bow with me in prayer over our offering. The collection plates are put in the back as you're going out, that you might contribute if you'd have a desire to. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank thee that thou hast blessed us in such a manner that we are able to continue thy work in this part of your vineyard, and the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon your people. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we gather these monies, as those give that are able to, for the benefit of all, that thou might continue to bless them, and that this money might be used for your purposes and your cause, and that it might be directed in how the expenditures are made. So these things, Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of thy Son, even the Christ. Amen.
For my opening verse, if you would turn with me, I'd like to start out with Alma chapter 12, starting at verse 18. And the Lord said unto them also, Go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish my word. Yet ye shall be patient and long-suffering in afflictions, that ye may show forth good examples unto them in me. And I will make an instrument of thee in thy hands unto the salvation of many souls. And it came to pass that the hearts of the sons of Mosiah and also those who were with them took courage to go forth unto the Lamanites to declare unto them the word of God.
Thank you.
you, ladies. I also want to thank Ed for asking me to preach this morning, and I will give the blame if it goes south today. I'll blame that on Dan. If you want to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting at the beginning through verse 11. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by the constraint, but willingly, not for the filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither of being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I grew up in a small town in northwest Iowa. It's about, give or take, 5 hours away from here. And I was raised in the church. My dad is an elder in the church, and my mom was born and raised in the church. And so I was very blessed to be in a home that knows Christ and taught me how to seek him out and just really seek out my faith. But the closest branch, the closest restoration branch to us was about 2 hours away, something like that, so we didn't get to visit the congregations very often or visit Woodbine congregation very often. And so one of the things that I kind of made a point of doing when I was growing up was looking for role models, people that would be good examples for me. And that would include priesthood members, but since the limitation that we didn't have a close branch besides my dad, I started looking for other people in the community. And I grew up in a community that's pretty conservative and very very open about their faith. Just an example, if you meet somebody on the street and you say, "Hi, my name is Josh Vanderswag," and they introduce themselves, within the first or second question they'll ask, "What church do you go to?" And growing up, that was kind of a hard question and answer because they don't know much about the church. They say, "Well, do you go to the Lutheran church? Do you go to the Catholic church, the Reformed church?" And no, I don't go to any of those churches, but sometimes I go to church with my grandparents at the Reformed church. That was usually my go-to answer, just to avoid the awkward confrontation, I guess, of the, "Oh, I go to church about 2 hours away," and just try to avoid that question. But in my community, there's several people that I've found to be very Christ-like and very very open about their faith. And one of those people was a former coach of mine. And I went to a public school. I didn't go to a private school like CPRS or anything like that. So, but like I said, our community was very open about talking about faith. Just for an example, in elementary school, our teachers would do devotions with us and pray with us, and they were just very open about their faith. But anyway, for this coach, obviously we're not allowed to put scriptures on our warm-up jerseys or anything like that, but he came up with a little acronym. It was HSKMH. You're thinking, well, what does that really mean? And that was kind of the whole point, obviously. People would see that in public and they say, "Is that a scripture or what is that?" And in our practices, we would have to literally we would have to shout these when we were doing sprints. We would say, play with humility, H. Play with selflessness, S. Play with kindness, play with mental toughness, and play for a higher cause. Our coach was always encouraging us to set an example, set the standard, is what he would always say. And if you want to turn with me in Titus, the second chapter of Titus. Reading verses 1 through 8, it says this, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged woman likewise, that they may be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Like I said, our coach was always encouraging us to set the standard and set the example. And as I was preparing for the sermon, I was kind of wondering, before I even thought about the coach, I was thinking, what should I preach about? What would drive home with people? And that's always a kind of a daunting task, I guess. And I was thinking about my own life. The other day I was driving home, and typically it's about a half-hour drive for me to get back and forth to work. And in that time, I usually call somebody. I just call a family member or call a friend, just kind of a bypass, you know, just to use up the time though while I'm driving. And I called one of my best friends I haven't talked to in quite a while, and he just asked me about my day, and I had a horrible day. I just kind of rambled on about my day, how bad it was, and just nonstop complaining. And before I know it, the half hour had gone by, and I'd done all the talking, and I pull up into my driveway, and he says, "Well, man, I'd like to keep talking with you, but I got to let you go." I thought, boy, I just wasted a full half hour with him. And I was thinking, you know, what kind of example am I setting for people? You know, he's my best friend. He kind of understands. He's my sounding board. But, you know, what kind of example am I setting when I'm just wasting time, when I'm complaining and not thinking about the blessings that were in my day? I talk about my job quite often. Just to give you a little background, I'm a sales guy for a company called Devron. We do soil sampling and drone imagery and data analytics for farmers and agronomists. And I don't really expect you to know what that really means, but that's kind of what I do. I just sell the services, basically, is what I do. And with this job, I'm on the road a fairly decent amount, about 30% of the time, and I come in contact with a lot of people. I'm usually talking to close to 40 to 50 people a week is what I'm supposed to be attaining. And anyway, I was on a trip. I was out in Kansas. I stopped through Manhattan and stopped through Wichita. And I was pulled into this gas station, and I was filling up my pickup, and I usually carry a trailer on behind me. And I was filling up, and I normally don't take notice of people that are filling up next to me, but this person that pulled in was driving a kind of a bomber of a car. It was very loud. It was kind of hard not to notice. And this lady pulls in right next to me, and I just glance back, and the lady rolls down her window, and she says, "Young man," and I looked over trying to act like I wasn't watching her, and she says, "Young man, would you mind filling up my gas tank?" And she's holding her credit card out for me. And I said, "Yeah, just give me a minute." And so I filled up my tank, and she says, "Thank you, I'm very handicapped. I'm not able to really do this if you don't mind. I said, no problem. So I went ahead and I swiped her card and waited a second, and it said transaction denied. And I looked back, and the lady's kind of looking out her window. She's just kind of looking at me, and I guess she's hoping I don't steal her card or something. And anyway, I swiped it again, and it said transaction denied. And I turned back at the lady, and she says, maybe it's the pump. Can we go up to the next one? So we went up to the next pump, and I swiped it again up there. Same thing there. It said transaction denied. So I just glanced back at her car, and inside her car was just a ton of blankets and clothes and just stuff, a lot of stuff. She was clearly homeless. And I handed back her card, and I pulled out my wallet, and I swiped the card and filled up her gas tank. And after that, I put it away, whatever, and I said, you have a good day, and God bless. And she, you could see it in her eyes. She was just so thankful for that. And I got back into my pickup, and I had an intern with me that was supposed to be job shadowing and supposed to be helping me out with soil sampling that I was doing. We got about 15, 20 minutes down the road. He hadn't said anything to me. I wasn't expecting really anything. And driving and stuff, and he says, why'd you do that? And I'm driving, and I think, did I hit something? and he says, why'd you do that? Why'd you fill up that lady's gas tank? And I didn't even have time to respond. And he says, that lady was probably taking advantage of you. And I just shrugged my shoulders, and I said, well, I guess that's between her and God, isn't it? And I haven't talked about my faith or anything with this intern or anything. We're a publicly traded company. We're not supposed to technically talk about faith in the workplace. And anyway, we kept going down the road, and he says, so what church do you go to? And it just opened up a conversation that I wasn't really expecting and was very thankful for. But the point of that story is that I wasn't expecting anybody to be watching me while I was doing that or whatever. I wasn't expecting a reward or anything like that. But there's always somebody watching you, and you need to be setting an example every chance that you get. Another story, I was in Walmart probably about 2 weeks ago or something like that, and I was walking towards the back of the store, and I needed to get some water and stuff, and I turned down to the water section, and there's a big pallet of water that was sitting off to the side, and there was this middle-aged lady that was filling up the shelves with water and stuff and kind of reorganizing and stacking all the pallets and stuff. And I kind of noticed she was kind of struggling, and those cases of water are kind of heavy, you know. And so I put my cart aside, and I decided I was just going to go help her real quick. But on the other side of the aisle, there was a guy that just came, must have saw the same thing. And he came towards me, and he helped out the lady, and we were just, you know, did our thing for about 5 minutes of helping this lady, and she was very thankful. But I grabbed my case of water, and I just happened to look down the aisle, and I looked at the guy, and there was this little kid, maybe 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And the kid said, or the dad said, setting the standard, right, bud? And the kid gives him a high five, and I just thought, that's just Coach right there. He's setting the standard. And I was thinking, as I was preparing for this, I was trying to think of testimonies or stories that I could share with you. And if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. And it's just one verse. It's verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Like I said before, I was raised in a good home, and I was raised to know Christ, and I truly believe this, that no matter where you're at, whether you're in the workplace, whether you're at home, or whether you're at school, there's always time and there's always an opportunity to send an example, just like that father did for that kid in Walmart. There's always somebody watching. There's always somebody paying attention to you. I was thinking, I've been fasting for the last couple weeks, aside from preparing for this sermon. I was preparing for some other things that have been on my mind, and I got to thinking, what should I be preparing for? for a future family. And I was thinking, going back to my story before, what am I doing with my time when I get home from work? You know, I'm guilty of this. I think I'm sure some of you are too. That I get home from work and after I eat, sometimes I'll sit on my phone for a couple hours scrolling through Facebook or sit on Netflix or watch Netflix for a couple hours if I'm not doing something that evening. And I thought to myself, what could I be doing with my time? You know, I could be studying. I could be going out and visiting with people. I could be doing a lot of different things. And the point of telling you this is that everybody's watching. You know, I'm not a conspiracy guy or anything like that. The government's not watching us. I'm not thinking about that. But, you know, somebody is always watching. You know, I'm sure the intern wasn't the only person that noticed that I filled up that lady's gas tank. You know, there's always somebody watching. There's always an opportunity to be setting an example. If you want to turn with me again to Matthew, chapter 5. Verses 15 through 18 says this: Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall be lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall thenceforth be good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this world, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's always an opportunity to be a light or an example for somebody. The other day, every morning we have a sales meeting as a team. We always have myself, my boss, and five or six of the salespeople online on a Zoom meeting with us. And my boss wasn't online that morning, and he texted me and he said, "Hey, would you mind leading the conversation this morning?" I said, "Yeah, sure, that's fine." And usually we just discuss the previous day, things that's going on in the current day, challenges that we have, things that we need to discuss, how we can help each other, and just talk about the day in general. And I won't lie, I'm pretty distracted. Usually when it's 8:30 in the morning, my day is really getting going. I'm getting calls and I'm getting emails, and I just kind of doing my own thing. I kind of zone out and listen here and there to the conversation. And anyway, I was calling on the different salespeople, and I said, "So what happened yesterday, or what were you doing? What are you planning to do today?" And we got through everybody, and it was kind of a little bit of a visit session afterwards. And a couple of the salespeople were complaining about our CEO. They were just bickering about something. I really wasn't paying attention that much. And one of our new salespeople, his name is Bryce, and he came on maybe a couple weeks ago, and he chimes up and he says, "Why are you bickering? Like, what's the point?" And boy, that got my attention. I was just like, "Oh, the new guy's saying something. What's he got to say?" And obviously the two other salespeople, they just kind of got quiet, and it was a little awkward confrontation there. And I said, "Well, I think I'm just going to end this meeting now, and you guys have a good day. If you need anything, just give me a call." And I decided I just gave Bryce a call right then and there, and I said, "Thank you for doing that." I said, "Thank you. I should have been the one that should have done that. I should have been setting the example there." And, you know, I'm by no means perfect. Nobody is. But there's always an opportunity to set an example. There's always an opportunity to be the light that God wants us to be. And it's my prayer that you guys will follow each other's examples and set that standard. Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, once again we come with open hearts to you, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity that we have had today to be reminded of the example that your Son, Jesus Christ, has set before us, and of the example that we need to be to all of those that we come in contact with. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we might go from here more determined to set that example before the world, that you are our Heavenly Father, that your Son, Jesus Christ, lives in our lives. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will go with each one here. Bless us, keep us safe, bless our families. We pray in Christ's name, offer our thanks to you, give all the praise and honor and glory to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.